Thanks. As Dr. Lindsay said, my topic today is systematic optimization of yield-enhancing applications, specifically looking at the row spacing interaction. Give a little background to why we deem this study important. A recent here literature compiled this year looked at the soybean on-farm yield gain, and they found that we've seen a 29.4 kilogram per hectare per year on-farm yield gain in soybeans since 1983. And this is illustrated in this graph here at the bottom with the increased slope on the right. And Specht and others attributed that two-thirds of this likely yield gain was for increases in genetics in soybeans, with the other one-third likely attributed to advancements in agronomic practices. Some of these agronomic practices that have been heavily looked at to increase soybean yield is earlier planting dates. Producers are trending towards earlier planting dates to a certain extent. We've also looked at higher seeding rates. There's been a lot of research trying to find that optimal seeding rate, but there's a lot of interactions with seeding rates across different agronomic practices. And then another agronomic practice that is of importance is row spacing, with a lot of researchers showing tending to agree that narrow row spacing increases yield compared to wider row spacings. On the other side, we've seen a huge increase in promotion of these yield-enhancing and yield-protecting products and inputs over recent years. A lot of this has been due to the increase in commodity prices that we have seen. I know commodity prices are going back down, but we're still seeing these products being promoted. Such products are seed treatments. The United Soybean Board estimated that a 60 to 70% of soybean production was treated this last year with seed treatments. Foliar fungicide and insecticide for their control of the pests. But also, a lot of these companies are promoting these products as having an improved plant health. And you can see that here in this picture with the right having a fungicide treatment and the left untreated. We have an increase in the greenness late in the season with the fungicide plot. But whether this leads to yield or not is unknown. Nitrogen, there's been a lot of questions on whether high-yielding soybean environments, if those soybeans are capable of producing enough nitrogen late in the growing season to fulfill their high sink that they have. And then also, there's been an increase in growth-promoting and stress-reducing products in recent years as well. So kind of with all that in mind, there's been a lot of studies looking at just agronomic practices by themselves, and then also a lot of studies that have looked individually at inputs. But little research has looked at what if we take these input practices in combination and put these across different agronomic practices, what's the interaction between these practices and the input systems? So with that in mind, the objective of the study was to evaluate the interaction between input systems and row spacing on canopy development and then yield and yield components. The methods we used were a randomized complete block design with a split plot arrangement. We used four blocks. Our whole plot factor were three row spacings, a narrow, a medium, and a wide. And our four input systems were an untreated control, a standard system in our fungicide and insecticide seed treatment, plus a foliar fungicide at R3, and then two aggressive systems that we call soya, and then soya minus foliar fungicide. These soya systems stand for systematic optimization of yield enhancing applications, and they include a combination of seed treatments, specifically a fungicide, insecticide, nematicide, and LCO seed treatment, and then over-the-top treatments. The over-the-top treatments were nitrogen broadcasted at V4, a foliar LCO at V4 as well, a foliar fertilizer at R1, an antioxidant, a foliar fungicide, and a foliar insecticide at R3. And these are the products that we used. We had five locations. We had three in Kansas and then two in Minnesota. And then we planted these. We tried to plant all locations by mid-May at a rate of 432,425 seeds per hectare. And this was across all row spacing. Data was analyzed in SAS 9.3 using Proc Mixed, and year, location, and block were random. For canopy development, we captured fractional canopy coverage using the methods outlined by Purcell. Here we took digital photos weekly over top the plots and then analyzed these digital photos using SigmaScan Pro, where we convert the green soybean pixels into red pixels and then get a ratio of the red pixels to the total pixels, giving us the fractional canopy coverage. And then we also used a handheld green seeker sensor to capture the NDVI values, and these were taken essentially at the same time. So we went out, took the fractional canopy coverage photos, and then followed up with the NDVI readings. Here is the results, looking at the yield response to our interaction. The interaction was not significant, and you can see here that when we look at the input systems, the input systems act similarly across all row spacings. So we have an increase in yield from our two aggressive systems or two soil systems, and that is seen across all row spacings. And then on the other side, when we look at row spacing, our narrow row spacing does increase yield, and that's irregardless of what input system we used. And we'll get that into more detail here when we look at the main effects of both the input systems and row spacing. Here is our yield averaged across all environments with our row spacing, and we do have a significant increase in yield when we go to our narrow row systems. We did not see a difference between our medium and our wide row spacing, though. When we looked at yield components, the seed number was one of our yield components that we had a significant difference, and it followed a similar trend to our yield. We had a significant increase in seed number when we went to our narrow row spacing, and did not see a difference, once again, in our medium versus our wide row spacing. When we look at fractional canopy coverage, this is at one location in 2013. We do see an increase in our fractional canopy coverage earlier in the season, indicating that our narrow and our medium are getting an earlier canopy coverage quicker in the growing season compared to our wide row spacing. This was about the same time that, right before about the same time that the soybeans were going into reproductive stages as well, and may be a possible reason why we see that increase in seed number compared to the wide row spacing. When we look at our main effect of input system on yield, we do see that we do get an increase in yield when we go to our high input systems. Our soya, where we have all the products combined, is significantly greater than our standard system in that fungicide, insecticide, seed treatment, plus foliar fungicide, and also our untreated control. However, when we pull that foliar fungicide out of that soya complete system, we do there is no difference between our standard system there with the foliar fungicide and that complete system without the foliar fungicide. Once again, when we looked at yield components, seed mass was a yield component that was significant response to input system, and this once again followed a pretty similar trend to what our input system showed in yield, where our soya system had the highest seed mass compared to our other input systems. And once again, when we look at the soya minus foliar fungicide versus the fungicide plus insecticide seed treatment with the foliar fungicide, we do not see a difference in seed mass there. And when we look at the NDVI values that we got with our Green Seeker, for the most part, early in the growing season, we do not see a difference between our systems until we start getting into senescence later in the season. And we start to see that our two soya systems hold on to higher NDVI values later in the growing season. And this may be a possible reasoning for why we do see that increase in seed mass. So with the conclusion, once again, we did not see an interaction between our input systems and row spacing. Row spacing yielded, our narrow row spacing had significant higher yields regardless of the input system that we use. And then also vice versa, our soy input systems had our greatest yields, and that was across all row spacings. When we looked at fractional canopy coverage, our narrow row spacing and medium row spacing had the greatest fractional canopy coverage later in the growing season. And then also our narrow row spacing had an increase in yield and increase in seed number compared to our wide row systems. And then when we looked at our input systems, we have a greater NDVI values later in the season. And this may be possibly why the reason that we're seeing an increase in yield when we look at the soy systems compared to our standard systems. And with this data set, we would like to do further analysis looking at, specifically looking at the fractional canopy coverage in the NDVI values, and see if the reason why we're seeing an increase in yield and the yield components can be related to why we're seeing an increase in the NDVI and the fractional canopy coverage. So kind of a take home for producers from what our results show here today. Producers should look at implementing a narrow row soybean production that showed our greatest yield compared to our medium and our wide. And then when we looked at our aggressive input systems, they can be used to increase yield. However, producers need to look at a return on investment in their operation and given commodity prices to see if those aggressive systems would work for them. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge the United Soybean Board and Kansas Soybean Commission for their funding for this project, Major Professor Craig Rosenboom and Advisory Committee, Doug Shoup and Kevin Duvetter, University of Minnesota for having two locations up there, specifically Seth Nave and Eric Wilson for helping, and then current and past graduate and undergraduate students at Kansas State University for their help in my research. With that, I'd open it up for any questions. The question was asked if the fungicide and insecticide were warranted based on pests and or fungicide and or diseases and insect levels. We did go out and scout for diseases and pests throughout the growing season. We did not see any high levels of diseases or insects in any of our locations, so wasn't really warranted. We were more looking at this as like a producer where they're going out and systematically applying these inputs. We did not see disease or insect levels that warranted these, but we followed through with the treatment.
You went by it kind of quick by, or I didn't notice it, maybe I missed it, but it looked to me like at the end of the season when your canopy was declining and you had some treatments that retained their green color better, that one of those was the sort of everything minus the fungicide. Is that right?
Yes, we did see the two soyas, the soya complete and the soya minus foliar fungicide, held on to higher NDVI values later.
So what do you think, if it's not fungicide making it stay green longer, what is it?
It's kind of showing us that there's possibly another product in that is holding on to that greenness in that plant. There's another study that looked specifically at just the inputs by themselves, and in that product, we didn't really see an input that was standing out. So I can't tell you for sure what input exactly was that was holding on to that greenness. But with that foliar fungicide coming out, and then also that seed treatment plus foliar fungicide not staying up there with those, we could say that the foliar fungicide was not the reason for that. But I don't know specifically what product is the reason why we're seeing that stay green in those two systems.
our speaker.